Just for the record, I'm Paul Baalbek III. Y'all know I'm not Dave. And today is, I almost said 11, it's 12/9/2018, and we're at Adult Sunday School. If you don't realize that, get an extra cup of coffee or something. You know, y'all thought I was late, not on purpose, right? Well, you know, sometimes people say it's been said Paul's went too long. So I figure I'll make it shorter and people will be happy. So I came in a little late.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be the live from the pulpit, right? It sounded good. And we're going to deal today with complete forgiveness. What a blessing. We're dealing with a series here of our spiritual blessings in Christ. And excuse me. One thing goes wrong, you're late, everything starts, right? And my wife ain't down there.
Grateful you could still do that.
That's right.
Yeah. Right?
That's right. I wouldn't be able to get there.
I couldn't. Oh, I couldn't do that over a year ago. Anyway, you know, Satan has did a masterful job. I mean, I give him credit for duping the body of Christ and thinking 1 John 1:9 is to a believer. There's whole theologies built around it. Theologians have taught it. Pastors have denominations that when you sin, you know, you get out of fellowship with God. And God turns his back on you until you confess your sins, get back into fellowship, and he's not going to answer your prayers or, you know, whatever it might be. And we're going to see what's the best way to understand a verse. And it's context, right? Context is king. The verse is above it, the verse is below it. So 1 John, the chapter's only, thank God, 10 verses. I'm going to exegete it. Honey, can you get my hanky out of my jacket? I just ran in. So, first we're going to look at, who's our apostle?
Paul.
Paul, right?
Yeah.
And people say, I follow Christ. Oh, really? Well, Christ sent Paul. He sent the 12 other apostles, what? Preach him what? The earthly kingdom, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The kingdom gospel. That they were teaching under law. Christ sent to the body of Christ in the dispensation of grace, our apostle Paul, and he gives us our instructions. I'm not going to go there. I got to memorize. He tells us what? In him, in Christ, through his blood, Ephesians 1:7. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Is that past tense? It's a present possession. So the idea is all of our sins were 2,000 years ago. They were, thank you, honey. She's cute, ain't she? She distracted me. 2,000 years ago, all of our sins were in the future, weren't they?
Correct.
Unless you're 2,000 years old. And if you are, you look pretty good for 2,000 years old. So 2,000 years old is when Christ said what? It is finished. It was a shout of victory. God dealt with all of our sins. Our sins from the day we were born till today, till the day we die. God's not limited by time. He knows what we're going to do before we do it, right? He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. And he took all of our sins, put them on Christ. Remember, we dealt with propitiation, one of our spiritual blessings. God was satisfied with that. Now, Satan, like I said, he's a master at deception. If you don't know this word and rightly divide it, and no verses in their context, you will be deceived. People are like, no, not me. Oh, yes, you will. Satan's been studying men. I believe creation's only been around maybe 10,000 years old. Long. You know, I don't believe in evolution. So, because scripture doesn't teach evolution, it teaches a literal 6 days. God created. And Christ is who? God the Son has said all things were created by him and for him. So praise God at this Christmas time, we celebrate the incarnation, right? The one who created everything became one with his creation so he could go to a cross to die for us. And it didn't stop there, did it? That's half a gospel. He was buried, right? And he rose victorious. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. So, again, Paul tells us that we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, through his blood. Did he say through our confession? No, right? Did he say through our turning from all of our sins? No, he said through his blood. It is finished, okay? So, in order, and then remind me, because I'm going to kind of be rushing, that's why I don't like starting late. Go to 1 John in the back, not the Gospel of John. Because when you deal with this, there's only two verses in the Bible that speak about confession and forgiveness. One's in James, and the other one's in John. Now, what I want to say, in Galatians chapter 2, Paul said when he met with them pillars, Peter, James, and John, right, that seemed to be pillars. But what I loved about Paul, he said, but they weren't, the idea was, no big thing to me. They seemed to be pillars, but I don't care. He wasn't intimidated by the big shots. See? And when they perceived, it says, so later this week, go you'll have more time. And go to Galatians 2 and see. When they perceived the gospel to the uncircumcision, who is that? The Gentiles. Was committed to him. As the gospel to the circumcision was committed to Peter. Two different gospels. It's like the cola and the uncola. Coke and 7-Up ain't the same, is it? They want to say, oh, it's the same gospel, one went to the other. Why does Paul say my gospel? Because Christ gave him the gospel, the grace of God, made him steward. It was hidden time past, right? But praise God, it's revealed now and we can know about it. And we're blessed, people. Our pastor has been teaching it. I knew it before I came here. But he stood for it for years and you're blessed to know it. So first, we're going to exegete it. So anyway, you got to get context. Who is John writing to in the first place? The circumcision. John doesn't write, if he's going to the uncircumcision, that is them kingdom Jewish believers. They're kingdom saints. They're not part of the body of Christ. Okay? They're in Christ according to prophecy. We're in Christ according to the mystery. There's a big difference there. So if he's going to them, who's he writing to? This is John writing to who? Who does James write to? To the 12 scattered tribes. Peter talks about those in the dispersion. Jews. The church takes Peter, James, and Paul, and the Gospels mixes them all up together, and you come out with, Paul said it's not a gospel, it's no gospel at all. It's not the gospel for today. It's a gospel. See, the kingdom gospel was good news to them. Israel is waiting for what? Hundreds and hundreds of years for a kingdom to come and their Messiah to come, their king to come, right? We're not in that kingdom. We're in God's spiritual kingdom, his rule, if you want, but we're not in that kingdom program. And remember, Christ, under law, Christ preaching to Israel, he was preaching under law, wasn't he? That's what I want to deal with too. Because Christ said, if you don't forgive, what? You won't be forgiven. It's in the Bible, ain't it? See, it can be biblical, but not dispensational. Christ is teaching under law. Under law, what did law say? If you do these things, God said, I'll bless you. If don't, I'll curse you. So if you forgive, you'll be forgiven. If you don't, you won't. Right? Am I talking too fast? Yeah, I know it's early. I know I get like a machine gun sometimes. I always come up short, Bill. If I want a smile from Bill, all I got to do is mention that. So, what did Christ reveal to Paul? That God nailed the law to the cross. It ended there, but it wasn't revealed. Peter and them didn't know it. It's not till Paul tells us it's been nailed to the cross. We're not under the law, Paul says, right? And who gave them? He says that it was given to him in 1 Corinthians, or I think it's 1 Corinthians 15, around towards the end of the chapter. Paul says it was given to him the commands of Christ. Today, our commands are in Paul's epistles. We find our identity in Paul's epistles. We find these spiritual blessings in Paul's epistle. You know, Pastor Stam, you say, don't try and rob Peter for Paul. See, too many are expecting promises. You know, you see on Facebook, you know, two people in the last 2 days. Usually I'm not the doctrine sheriff, you know, jumping on everybody's posts. But sometimes, just to make people think, I ask. They said, "Where two or more gather together in my name, you know, or ask anything in my name, and I'll do it." Right? I says, "Who's speaking, and who are they speaking to?" Christ is speaking to who? He was his disciples. That's not to us today. Today, what's our hope? Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not when two of us get together that he's in our midst. He's in our midst with one. See the difference? If you don't rightly divide the word, Satan's a master at deception. You know? So let's go here. Let's see. John is writing to kingdom believers, not to the body of Christ even. So right there should tell us that that verse isn't to the body of Christ. But we're going to do it in context, because why is John even writing it? Let's look at it. That which, 1 John 1:1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. Now listen to this. Think through when you're studying. Which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. He's talking about Christ, right? Why is he saying, like, we touched him, we've seen him? Because there was an early form of Gnosticism that John was dealing with, and Paul deals with in Colossians, that said, spirit is good, flesh is evil. So Christ couldn't come in the flesh. And they would say, sin is an illusion. Sickness is an illusion. Where else are you hearing that today? In the word prosperity, false gospel. Don't confess it. You're not really sick. It's an illusion that Satan's thrown on you. See, a lot of stuff is just false teaching with the new set of clothes on it. So anyway, John, right from, if you know, the context is showing, who's he dealing with? Some people who, it's an early form of Gnosticism. Look up what Gnosticism. Their idea was, there was, you know, if you had this higher knowledge, that's why I say some dispensationalists, I call them dispensational Gnostics, because they think because they got this higher knowledge, they're you know, I know, you know how much I know, or you're down here. I went to a church one time, and it just bugged me. They asked me, where you come from? I told them, Jim Kirkwood, you know, Grace Gospel. I said, yeah. My brother, he used to go there. He was a good Bible teacher. Didn't we learn a lot from him? About rightly dividing the word and, you know, who we are in Christ and dependence on Christ. Anyway, they go, oh, he's good for beginners. And I thought, how puffed up in pride. You know, oh, but your pastor is dispensational Gnostic. They thought this higher, because they had this higher knowledge, you know, that was salvation. And they had mediator, like a ladder up. You had different spiritual enlightened beings, and Christ was one of them, only one of them. Sounds like some other teaching in a lot of churches, right? Pray to, besides praying to God. But anyway, again, they They didn't believe that Christ came in the flesh. Okay? Because that's flesh is evil. So that's why, as I look at this, I'm thinking through, why is John saying that? He's starting to tear up their teaching already. He says, for the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show. Could someone give me a glass of water or something, please? I'd appreciate it. For the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life. Who's that? Christ. Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Which was manifested with the Father and was manifested to us, to which we have seen and heard, declare unto you, listen this, that ye may have fellowship with us. So, is he talking about believers? No. We'll see a little bit more in context. He's going to be dealing with someone who's not a believer. They didn't have fellowship with them. You know what fellowship is? You're either in the ship, in Christ, or you're out. You're out of the ship, out of fellowship. It's not, let me ask some, what's the wages of sin?
Death.
Is it out of fellowship? Like it's being taught? No. If Christ didn't deal with all of our sins, we would die when we sin, because that's the wages. But praise God, it's a done deal, isn't it? Christ did it. And, you know, they call it cheap grace. Ooh, you saying, you teach that grace stuff, people just go seeing. That's cheap grace, greasy grace. No, it ain't cheap. It's Peter even said, the precious blood of Christ. That purchased our forgiveness. That which we have seen in verse 3. And declare that you may have fellowship with us and truly... Listen this now. Our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. That is a believer, whether it's in the kingdom program or in the body of Christ, in the mystery program. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This is the message that we have heard from Him and declared it to you, that God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. I don't have... Let's go to it. Go to one verse. 1 Thessalonians 5, 4 and 5. I don't like being late because then I feel rushed. Calm down. 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 4 and 5. Now this is to the body of Christ. Everybody got it? If not, write it down. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. Think about that now. We, the body of Christ, are not in darkness. That day should overtake you like a thief. He's talking about the day of Christ. Ye are all children of the light. What are we? Children of the light. And the children of the day. We are not of the night. Nor of darkness. Go back to first John. I'll go again and read verse 5. So believers are what? In the light, right? You're children of the light. This then is a message which we heard of Him and declared to you, that God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him. So they're saying they're saved. Okay? And walk in darkness. Now, did it say not how they walk, but where they walk? See the difference? Not are they walking in sin, and people say you're walking in darkness. No, it's where they're at. They're in the darkness. They're not saved. Are you seeing the context? I'll take a sec. Let it sink in. Read it. I don't want you to take my word for nothing. I don't care if takes 5 minutes for you to get it. The Holy Spirit will illumine your mind. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk. See, in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. They didn't have the truth. They didn't believe the truth. They didn't have the way, the truth, and the life, who is the light of the world. But listen to this. But, so he's got to be, see, words are very important. See, the but, there's a change, right? But, so he's talking about unbelievers, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. What? You're saved if you're in the light, right? But if you're walking in darkness, you ain't saved. So who's this verse that we're coming up to about? An unbeliever, not to believers. It gets me so upset when I, first thing you hear in psychobabble, what they call, quote, Christian, quote, counseling. Oh, whether, first they'll say, how is your relationship with your mother, your father? And then they tell you, do you got unconfessed sin in your life? You need to confess your sins, get in fellowship with God. You hear it over and over. See, when you know truth, you can discern error like boom, like that, if you're in the Word. I'm not talking about what you studied last year. Oh, I read the Bible all through last year, every day. So I figure I'm good for this year and I'll do it again next year. It ain't fresh in your mind. You ain't got leaving much for the Holy Spirit to work with. See, He brings to our mind but the Word that we got in us. You want it fresh. Would you eat Mary yesterday? Boy, she made some good, I shouldn't even mention it. Y'all get hungry and start thinking about it after church, watching the Bears game. She made some turkey soup. Beautiful. And then we made a cross-shaped tree. We put it together. You know, because the Christmas story ain't just about Him being born. That's the beginning. He was born to die. And He died and rose that we might live. See, that's what we want. It's a good way to bring it up, the gospel. And it's a cool-looking tree if anybody wants to check it out. Anyway, she made, it was nice doing that. It was a cold day, so she made, I never had a turkey soup, and but she left it out. And then last night I go, honey, this ain't gonna be any good. She goes, oh, it'll be all right. I said, I ain't eating it. I've been food poisoned, so I don't eat none after 3 days old, or if it's sitting out all day, unless it's pizza. Yeah. Pizza's all right, yeah. But anyways, I don't want to eat that. And say if it was rotten, you know, from the day, it's going to make you sick. Well, that's the same thing with rotten teaching. Paul talks about sound doctrine. Sound means health giving. Grace teaching, based on the word rightly divided, is healthy for you. You know, it even it brings you peace. It's even healthy for your health, physical. You know why? When you got peace, you don't got all them stressful chemicals running through your body. When you understand grace, truth, and you rejoice, again I say rejoice, when you're not anxious for anything, but what do? But by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request be made known to God. What happens? And the peace of God that protects your mind, your thoughts, and your heart, your emotions. You know, if when you take this word and apply it, you won't suffer from depression. Oh, what are you talking about? I have a chemical imbalance. Don't you know that? My psychiatrist told me that. Yeah, you got a chemical imbalance. When you get angry, chemicals go through your body. When I get sad, chemicals are released into my body. When I'm stressed, chemicals are released into my body. So somebody give you a pill to balance the chemicals, but you ain't got to where it is. You need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. Truth sets us free. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I used to be depressed. I was under legalism, beat up every week. Just wanted to kill myself for months. I ain't lying. I wouldn't have been here. I was going to blow my head off. You know who God used? My son. I was staying with my friend. I didn't even want to talk to anybody. I didn't want to be around people. And it went on not only there, but for months I wanted to just go in the basement and hide and not, you know, just get some food some once in a while. I was so depressed. And I'm like, God, I can't take this anymore. If you don't do something, I can't take it. I'm going to kill myself. I wouldn't be here today. God heard my prayer. Here's your prayers. And I started hearing grace teaching. Grace teaching delivered me from that. Truth, you'll know the truth. And I didn't have to go to a psychiatrist. You know, my uncle asked me, Paul, you want me to take you to my psychiatrist? He'll give you a pill to feel better. And I thought, I didn't know much. I was a Pentecostal for 8 years, and it's not based on so much doctrine as emotion. That's why you got to go to church every night to get pump it up with the music, you know. But I thought, how's some unsaved shrink gonna understand my problem? I thought God was disgusted with me. I thought he was gonna get me because I'm not forgiven, and I keep sinning. I keep messing up. I'm not focused, sin-focused, instead of focused on Christ. Sound grace teaching will free you. And I ain't had depression for years. And when I start to get down, because, you know, Satan, pop, you know, them flaming darts, Mary calls them doubting darts. My theologian wife, who's going to Berean Bible Institute, we got a shield of faith. That's why I'm going through these spiritual blessings. So when Satan comes and says, look at you, look at you, look at you, talking in church. No. I'm just playing. Yeah, look at me, talking in church. Yeah, I'm just playing. I'm always in the back with Mary, telling her, actually, it's funny, a lot of times, I like the New King James. Pastor asked me if I would use the King James. No problem, but I always show her, you know how he explains words, what a word means, and sometimes it takes up about 10, 15 minutes in a sermon because he's explained that word. Well, I show Mary, by the time he gets to what that word means, it's in my New King James already. So a lot of times you'll see me, you know. Check out. Or maybe I'll be, you know, agreeing with the pastor on something. So I'm saying, I'm trying to be funny. Sometimes when you ain't trying to be funnier, right? But anyways, let's go back to here. In verse 6 again, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, what's that? Where we're walking, not how we're walking. Not walking like you're in the light. We are in the light if we're believers. As he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. See, you got that unity with one another, part of one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, for believers, what do we even... whether it's them or the body of Christ. What does Paul say? We have redemption through his blood. Forgive as you have been 2,000 years ago forgiven, right? As God's forgiven you. Believers live in forgiveness. Satan's got, you know, because that 1 John 1:9 out of context, he's got people sin focused. When they do communion, what do they say? Examine yourselves. If you got any sin in your life, confess it and get it. Get right, get in fellowship with God. Or maybe you'll choke on a cracker, you know. What did Paul say Christ, what he received from Christ, I give to you? He said, do this in remembrance of me, not your sins. What did he do? It represents his blood, right? It represents his body that was broke. And so Satan's even corrupted doing communion because people are sin focused. When you understand forgiveness, you're not got to focus on your sins and your failures. And you know, probably next week I'm going to be doing justification. When you know you're justified, declared righteous once for all, God made you in a new creation that's totally righteous, but we still got a sin nature. But God dealt with that too. The cross broke the power of sin nature. When you see yourself like God sees you, you're not focused on yourself. You're focused on Him and serving Him out of gratitude in view of God's mercies, His loving kindnesses, His grace. You offer your bodies. That's divine service. It's your large co-act for service. Worship. If you don't want to serve God based on these wonderful spiritual blessings, then something's wrong with you. There's something wrong with you. If you just come to church, say, I want to go to church so I can hear I'm forgiven, so I can just go live it up, live like the world, something's wrong with you. And those who say, oh, that grace, you teach that grace stuff, you teach people go out and sin, they have a perverted, corrupted mind that's corrupted by error. And it's taught all over the church. Satan does his best work behind the pulpit. That's why I always say, don't believe a word I'm saying unless I'm teaching you this thing, word in context. And I'm teaching the truth. There's so much error that goes behind on in the pulpit. Today, pastors, because they don't rightly divide the word, they might not even mean to, but they're going to be fleecing the flock. They're going to go, you're robbing God if you don't pay your tithes. Where Paul never tells us pay tithes. He says give. As God's prospered you, give with a cheerful heart. Choose how much you want to give, not at 10%. You know? He didn't say give less. He didn't say give more. You choose. Be an adult child of God. So let's keep going. I'm going to be closing. In verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And what? The blood of Jesus cleanses, Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, you notice it didn't say sins? Sin. They were saying they didn't have a sin nature. Sin is an illusion. That's what the Gnostics taught. Listen to this. We deceive ourselves. I one time was at a Bible study, and the teacher said, does anybody not sin here? And one guy raised his hand, and I told him, you're a liar. they were saying, be cool, Paul. Yeah, he's a new guy. I said, you're a liar, man. We all sin because we got a sin nature. Yeah? Only Christ never sinned. If we say we have no sin, so no sin nature, we deceive ourselves. And what? The truth is not in us. These ones He's speaking to in the next verse are unbelievers, not believers. If we confess our sins, it's a hypothetical we. And in a dispensational setting, I'm going to tell you what confessing your sins is. What did John the Baptist teach? Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. They came confessing their sins, getting baptized by John, and Christ kept doing it. So in a dispensational setting, I wasn't going to get all into that, because especially some people that never maybe heard about rightly dividing the word, they're not going to get it. And I didn't want to get real technical. What I want to do is just make clear the idea. Take something complicated and make it simple. Mary says God's gift to me in that. Anyway, how would they confess their sins? They would have got water baptized. It's not, you know, with their mouth confessing every sin. What about the ones you don't confess? If you got to confess to get forgiven, what about the ones you don't confess that you don't see? Are you not forgiven? See how, if you think things true, false teaching, when you understand truth, when the Holy Spirit turns a light on, false teaching's easy to bust. The Word of God is a double-edged sword. It'll rip it up. But you got to know it. You got to memorize it. You got to study it. And what else? You got to apply it. So if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm going to go to one more verse to show you that. Remember where I said it's not how they're walking, it's where they're walking in darkness? You know, John and Peter and the book of Revelation, he was writing to a church that would have went through the tribulation period if not for God bringing in the dispensation of grace that was a mystery. So 1 John is all about detecting false teachers, the Antichrist. Just for a little side note, I'm going to close out. I'll be 2 minutes and that's it. I'll be 5 minutes over. But I started 5 minutes late. These are pretty smart. I won't get away with that one. Well, I came late. go to 1 John 2:11. 1 John 2:11. Is that enough time, son? She always tells me to repeat the verses. 1 John 2:11. But he that hateth his brother, what? Is in darkness, unsaved, and knoweth not where he goeth, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. See? He's dealing with people that are in darkness. There's a couple other ones I can go to, but I want to go to verse 1 and 2, and I believe I'll end here. My little children, these things I write to you that ye sin not. So he's saying, I'm writing to you so you won't sin. Now what do people say? Oh, you teach you're completely forgiven. People just go sin. That's not what John was saying. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation, the satisfaction. The Father poured all of his anger for our sins on Christ, and God's justice was satisfied. So now God's love, and he can declare us righteous. Christ became sin for us. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God in him. He says, and that he is a propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. So I'm going to close with that. And what I want to ask, I hope first, y'all, you know, I think you all know this, but sometime, you know, Paul says, be transformed by the renewing. You got to keep, be reminded. That's why we got to stay in the Word. And I hope this has reminded you, and maybe even made it more clear, so when you try and share with another believer who's been in bondage to 1 John 1:9 for years, I used to confess my, I was so sin focused, you know, that's why I was depressed until I understood grace. So hopefully it'll help you. And for someone else, if you look, John said, and that's true, was true for them kingdom believers, but Paul says what? This is the gospel. Gospel means what? Good news. The jolly good news that makes you want to jump for joy. The gospel is this, that Christ died for our sins, for our personal sins. He was buried, and he rose on the third day, right? According to the scriptures, he said. According to God's word, right? He said, this is what you are saved and stand on. And then in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, listen up, unbelievers, and I don't know who here is a believer. I can pretty much tell most, but some people you don't know. They know all the grace talk, right? They know all the theology. But that God has did everything to clear the decks so we can come to receive spiritual life. How do we receive it? You are saved, have been, it's in the perfect tense, have been and continue to be. You have been saved by grace, unmerited favor, unearned favor, through faith. What's faith? I trust. I got to trust and receive that. It's a gift. It says, as a gift from God. I can offer you a gift, but if you leave it laying there, it ain't but helping you, right? I can put $1 million in the bank for you, but if you leave it laying there, you can live like a pauper and die like a pauper. You're saved by grace through faith as a gift to God, not by works, lest anyone should boast. So if you've never trusted in Christ, anyone out there, I don't care if you've been in the church your whole life, you've been singing in the choir, you've been paying tithes and sometimes some extra, you go to church 3 times a week, but you've been confessing your sins, thinking, keeping short accounts with God, and that's why you're saved today. Trust what Christ did. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the spiritual blessing of complete forgiveness, of finality of the cross. Help us to understand that. Make it clear so we're not focused on us and our failures. We're focused on our identity, who we are in Christ. And we behold Him and we're transformed more and more into His image. And that we serve you out of that, Lord. And I thank you that that's only half the gospel. Christ died for our sins. But there's a reality of the resurrection. When we come as spiritually dead paupers, bankrupt, empty-handed, we receive resurrection life. It's called eternal life. We'll live spiritually forever. We don't get eternal life when we get to heaven. We get it now and we take it with us for eternity. I pray if there's one, Father, that they'll choose right now. They make a choice. If they ignore it, that's a choice. But it has eternal consequences. I pray that they'll choose life. And they'll receive that abundant spiritual life in Christ. And for us, Lord, as Paul said, to pray, he asked the believers to pray for him that he might open his mouth boldly as he ought. And also he prayed for that he might be given utterance. So may we speak the truth in love in the right way, God, not be rude, even though we can be right and still be rude. Speak it in love and speak it boldly. And we need your Holy Spirit to do that in us and through us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.